Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so excited to be here and to continue on the message regarding the Beatitudes. We are a learning center, so we wanted to share what are the things that we took away. We want to share with testimonies. We want to answer some questions that anyone may have. So prepare yourselves. *5 is a way to connect with us. So press *5 at any time in the message. So when you're ready, we can go ahead and share with you. All right, so let's go ahead, open up the call in prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to continue to serve you. We're truly gracious for your word, Heavenly Father, that you provided this guide to us on how we are to live this our lives. Not only did you provide this guide, Heavenly Father, but you also sent your son as a living example, dear Lord, on how we should walk each and every day. You've also provided to us the things we should do, not the things that we view in the world, but the things that you expect from us, Heavenly Father, and may we fulfill on those. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your ever presence, your ever mercy, your ever grace in and through our lives. We are so grateful of your willingness to allow us to choose you, Heavenly Father, and may we do so each and every day, not only in our words, but in our thoughts and in our actions, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, as we continue on this call tonight, may we all have open minds and open ears to receive what you have to share, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for our leader. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we are talking about the Beatitudes, and man, we had a powerful, powerful week of just learning so much about what Jesus Christ shared on the Mount. For those of you who don't know, Jesus gave a lesson. He taught on the Mount, and as Mr. Carr shared with us, that was through Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. But what was so amazing for me, the thing that I really took away, was that all of these lessons that he taught on the Mount are lessons that we share week in and week out. These are lessons that we've talked about from this subject to the next subject. But to see it all in one place and really read and receive all that he had to give was absolutely amazing. And I was grateful for the fact to see it all at once. I personally had never studied the Beatitudes and was grateful that this is the lesson that we shared this week, because there was so much to take away, and so much so that it helped revisit just some of the things that God has called us to be, called us to do in our day-to-day lives. I almost call it the should-dos. And I loved how Miss Candy yesterday called them the 7 adjectives that we should live our life by. One of them for me that really checked me, good chin check, was being humble. And one of the things was said was admitting when you're wrong or holding your tongue, accepting help. Those are ways in which we humble ourselves. And just as a testimony for me to share tonight, that's one of the things I struggle with. I struggle when I'm wrong to immediately admit it. It's a struggle for me to sit back, and sometimes I need to have my understanding of the ways. But man, when you can truly hold on to, okay, I really was in error, and can then repent on it, apologize for the wrongdoings, it really goes a long way. That's something that I'm still working on. God is working on me with, and that is accepting help. I've time and time again, someone would offer help, and I would be in situations, and I'm like, no, I got it, I can do it. But just recently, I've been able to step back and say, you know what? Yes, Lord, I accept that help. I receive it, and I'm not worried about whether or not someone thinks I can do it or not do it. Once again, still something to work on, but something I'm starting to see in my day-to-day walk. And we all have those different things that we need to work on, but we are not blessed unless we are doing all these things, the should-dos that Jesus Christ called on the Mount, the should-dos that came out of the Beatitudes. And one question that in all my studying that really came back to me was, are your attitudes a carbon copy of the world's selfishness, the world's pride, or the world's lust for power? Or do you reflect the humility and self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ? And that's when I'm like, wow, yep, yeah. I have some things that are still a carbon copy of the world that I need to check and make sure that my actions, my thoughts, my words are reflecting the humility and self-sacrifice of Christ. But before I go on, there is something, you know, I was moved to prepare a poem for tonight, and just want to share that with you before we continue. It's titled Beatitudes. Not what your mind views, but how you should do. Not personal independence, but realizing the need for godly dependence. Not happiness at any cost, but mourning sins that we've lost. Not seeking worldly power and disorder, but are worthy of honor, working God's order. Not caught up in personal satisfaction, but have a hunger for thirst for justice for all. Not caught up in the webs of deception, but walking in integrity with godly character. Not living society's typical way of life, but challenging the way we live each day. Beatitudes, they're not what your mind views, but they are how you should do. I truly hope that you received that and just wanted to touch base with our with Mr. DJ, who's on the line. Mr. DJ, what are some things that Beatitudes called out for you this week?
Just touch on one key thing. If for those of you all who have an enemy, which should be, well, everybody, let me not speak for everybody, but for those of us that have an enemy, that enemy knows how to press your buttons. And just as well, you know how to press that enemy's button. And just to bring things better perspective, I would like to pose a question as well to everyone. You know, if you have a family member, I'm going to bring it even closer than that. If someone is messing with your child, let's just say you have a significant other or the parent. If you're not with that parent, if you have a child and you have you guys are split, the parents are split, and that child is your heart, that child is very dear to you, and then the child's mother or the child's father is not treating that child correctly, and you say your prayers, and of course you're going to say what I call politically correct prayers and pray for everybody in general. But if something's just eating away at you, you always ask for extra blessings for your child, you know, and you pray that their strength and safety and all of that good stuff. But then in the back of your mind, you're contemplating some kind of danger or something happening to that other parent or to a point to where you're really upset with them that you don't even really feel like praying with them. What I'm getting at is you can't have that type of spirit. You can't sit up and say, okay, well, I pray for this brother, but not that brother, or this sister, not that sister. I just kind of wanted some feedback on people about, you know, micromanaging your prayers, you know, to a point where if you're mad for somebody, do you still pray for them, or do you just make it a dry prayer? Just, oh, yeah, well, you know how we often say, well, yeah, I love everybody. You know, oftentimes you'll hear people saying, I love everybody, and knowing good and well that person does not love you, you know, at least they don't show that they love you or certain people. So, you know, that was a real revelation about, you know, prayer and how we should treat each other, you know, and how we should really pray for that person even stronger. You know, oftentimes that we go into church or into a spiritual dwelling, we often ridicule by the outsiders, but we only welcome insiders, people who are already in the church. You greet them with a smile. You greet them. You say, hello, come on in. But let somebody who you really don't recognize come in there. Let's say they were smelling funny or dressed crazy. You know, you kind of turn your nose up at them. You know, when actually those are the very, very people that need to be in there. And just to lastly break something down, and people, I'm pretty sure, already knew this, Jesus didn't really have a church. He didn't have a church home. He was the church. He didn't go to a place and say, okay, well, hey, you know, this is my church and all come to me. You know, come on and get your membership and all come to me at this one particular building. He was the church and he went to the people. And he didn't go to the people who already knew him and was faithful. I mean, he welcomed those people and they traveled with him, but he went to the gutter. He went to places that most folk won't go or were scared to go. So just to put that out there, you know, those Beatitudes can really, really measure your mark on how we're supposed to be living, as well as like a checkmate, you know, of yourself.
They sure do. They sure do, Mr. DJ. And that's part of the self-reflection that we have to look at on a daily basis, right? We're challenged to put these Beatitudes up on our mirrors to say, okay, is this how we're living day in and day out, right? We are, the Beatitudes tell us that we are to bless those who are humble. And if a humble soul enters, say, that church building, a humble soul enters any aspect of our lives, we are to be able to give to them, because they are the whom will inherit the earth. Excuse me. They are the ones who will receive of God. But if we do not humble ourselves to love each and every person whom we come in contact with, even the ones whom you just said, like, we're not happy with or may not love us, right, then those are the things that we are the ones who will receive that message. I do not know you, right, God, when we are at the as world with the pearly gates, right? God's message to us would be, move away, I do not know you, because we did not act in love, we did not act in patience, we did not act in kindness as he has called us to do. And as the Beatitudes call out, we are to hunger and thirst for justice. And if we're not hungering and thirsting for justice for those individuals who may show up to the church house dirty, smelly, anything else, then who are we really trying to meet? Who are we truly trying to introduce to God? Oh, thank you for that, Mr. DJ. We actually have a caller who has something else to share in this regard. Good evening, caller.
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to share a little something that I wrote that goes along with Matthew 5 and 9, which is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And it's called Peacemaker. Please help me to be a peacemaker. Erase from me my faults. Allow me to speak with a kind voice. Correct me when I am wrong. Erase from me my anger. Mute out words of strife. Allow me to lead with a good heart. Keep me mindful of what is right. Erase from me my worries. Replace them with faith so strong that I will always be a peacemaker, even when things go wrong. And just a little something to keep us mindful of what it is that we're supposed to be doing as peacemakers. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for that, Ms. Candy. Absolutely
awesome.
Beautiful poem. Yep, absolutely beautiful poem. Because we are to be peacemakers, no matter what strife, no matter what conflict. That's one of the things that we have to be peacemakers in everything. God tells us, we talked about this a bit on Wednesday, to be the salt of the earth, right? To be the light. And if those are the things that he is calling us to be, then that in itself brings about peace. One of the things I love about salt in itself, right, we talk about salt from a seasoning perspective, and that's where the scripture leads us to, is the seasoning side of things. And if if the food is bland, then it's bland without seasoning. We are not to be without seasoning when we're in people's lives. We are to provide that seasoning to them. But salt, in another way for me, has healing properties. When we talked about salt and what we talked about actually water last week, right, and happiness being blessed, we referenced water to it. And salt, water, that combination for me just brings about so many healing properties. Salt water, I've taken all my life, right, gargled throat when you have a mess, sore throat, right? Salt water, and being from the Caribbean, we go out to sea, that heals any cuts or bruises that we may have on our skin. Salt water helps preserve what is good. And as salts of the earth, that's what we're supposed to do. So as peacemakers, we're supposed to bring out the best of those around us. We're supposed to bring out the best in the places that we're in. May it be the job, may it be a group, may it be our homes. We are to be that salt, bring out the best in those places. We're to bring out the best in every situation. When we come up against some kind of strife, when we have some kind of mountain to climb, when somebody else is dealing with an issue or matter, we're to be that salt. We're to bring out the best in that situation and provide those healing properties. In the same way, we are to be the light, right? Reflecting God in everything. I love how the scripture says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Can you imagine a city on a hilltop lit up? Like, it can't hide from anything. It is there. It's fully visible. And as Christians, we are fully visible in all aspects of our lives. If we're walking in Christ, we are walking in that light. So we cannot be hidden, and we have to reflect God. So what does that really mean? And as peacemakers, what does that mean? Well, first, we must speak up for injustice. Right? Any injustice we see that's happening, as peacemakers, as light, we must speak up for it. Right? We're not to follow the crowd. That's number two. We're not to be in the in crowd, as they call it. We're supposed to be peculiar, as the word says. Right? We're supposed to be okay with setting things right, even if it doesn't follow with what everybody else is expecting. But we're also supposed to own the light. We're supposed, that's number three, own the light. We're supposed to set aside foolish ways. We're supposed to explain what that light is to other people. We're supposed to explain Jesus Christ to others. And we're supposed to give to others just as he continuously gives to us. And as the light, we're to be beacons of truth, always being beacons of truth, which is who he is. Right? And all, truly being beacons of truth. So thank you, Ms. Canny, for truly sharing what a peacemaker is. So right now, we have another caller who actually also has something to share. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. I also came across a poem, and it's by Anthony Paul Curtis. It says, it's called Reflections on the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are those who show mercy. Blessed are those who are true. Blessed are those who believe in the Lord and try his good works to do. Blessed are those who are peaceful. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who live by the word and try God's counsel to seek. Don't let your spirit be weary. Don't let your heart be afraid. Believe in Jesus and bathe in his light. Don't let your love for him fade. The road to heaven is stony. Many the paths that are wrong. Take hold the hand of our Savior and he will help you along. We all have crosses to carry. Just keep your eyes on the road. Remember, Jesus at Calvary carried a heavier load. He is our friend and our Savior. He is our present and our past. He points the way to heaven. There we will meet him at last. And that's all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paula. Really appreciate you sharing that poem with us tonight. Truly do. What is one other thing that you... What is one other thing you took away from the attitudes this week?
One thing that I took away is just staying hungry for my relationship with God and putting him first before anything and just keeping that as my main focus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paula. All right, folks, we have the line open. For those of you who just joined us, we're still talking about Beatitudes. And we have shared and posted the question earlier, are your attitudes a carbon copy of the world? Or do they reflect the humility and self-sacrifice of Jesus? Attitudes, right, or a settled way of thinking. They are how someone thinking or feeling about someone or something, and it's usually reflected in your behavior, right? So the question is, are your attitudes a carbon copy of the world, or do they reflect the humility of Jesus? So we'll love to hear from you, love to hear any testimonies, any questions, any comments from this previous week. So please go ahead. *5 is the way to reach out. So press *5 and we get to you right away.
Ms. Tiana.
Yes, Mr. DJ.
Yes, I would also like to put this question out there. When is it okay for you to be angry? When is it okay for you to be upset or to be angry? Because we talk a lot about forgiveness, and yes, we all are human and we're Christian, but is it okay to be angry? I just want to put that question out there. Maybe somebody could assist me with that hasn't called in.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. DJ. So we got two questions on the table, and we do have a caller who wants to share. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. So actually, with the question, Ms. Tiana, that you posed about our attitudes being a carbon copy of the world or of that of Jesus Christ, I would have to say, honestly, for me this past week, you know, there was a lot of conviction because I could see where I was displaying a lot of what the world would want me to conform to. But then, on the other hand, there were times when I was able to display that of, you know, the way that Jesus Christ would want me to live. So again, you know, we call that, you know, a double-minded person because, again, I'm conforming one way in a sense and then another way in another sense, which is not correct. So again, I say that we have to be very, very careful because we say that we believe, we say that, oh, we trust God with our life, He's in control. However, we're not conforming to His ways all the time in the way that we should be. So I just wanted to share that, and also with the question that Mr. DJ posed, we've heard, a lot of us have heard that, you know, what the Bible tells us, to be angry but sin not. And there are times when we have all gotten angry about something, but the key is, how do we respond to that? How do we act out once we're angry? What is the result of our anger to that other person or to the situation or what have you, you know, whatever it is? So the way that we can overcome that is to continue to be in communication with God and to be prayerful, because if not, we have to know that we cannot do it in our own strength. So whatever it is, you may have been angry an hour ago. So think back to, how did I respond, you know, when I was angry? What was the result of my anger, and how was that anger reciprocated in the situation? So, you know, somebody might say, well, it's not that simple, but I assure you, if you remain prayerful, God will help you to be humble and to act out in the way that we've been talking about with the Beatitudes. So that's just, you know, something I wanted to share.
Thank you, Ms. LaTanya. Thank you. Definitely hit on some key points for both questions, and we are truly, truly grateful. And folks, once again, those who just joined, we're opening up the lines for testimonies, for questions, any comments on the Beatitudes. And all you have to do is press *5. But Mr. DJ, back to your question on, you know, should we be angry? And it's so interesting because in the Sermon on the Mount, that's one of the things that Jesus actually teaches about is anger. So that just really intrigues me because in the scripture, like, what it leads to is that we should avoid it. But when we, but if we're in that situation, like Ms. Latanya just says, is how do our actions, what do our actions represent? And are we sinning not? So definitely, definitely a great question. Before we go any further, before we go forward, we do have another caller who would like to share this evening. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. I have a poem that I want to share with everyone. The title is The Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, a powerful word spoken to us by Jesus Christ. They are our instructions, our blueprint, our foundation given to us to live throughout this life. In our day-to-day living, our mindset should include all 18 grace. And the more we hunger and seek after his righteousness, the more he continues to pour in his grace. With pure hearts, we depend on him for all things. Giving him first place and to trust him all the more brings us closer to his faith. We're blessed when we show mercy towards others and to be true, to teach others to believe in God and to tell of his great works too. We're blessed when we display acts of peace and blessed in our being meek, to show others how to live by God's word and find all the answers they may seek. Understanding that sometimes things or circumstances or people may try to block our way, we must stay focused on our path because in all, he has the final say. So remember in our day-to-day living to keep at the forefront of our minds what he's given us to do, to walk in love and treat one another just as he tells us to. Our comforter, our Lord and Savior, our brother, our friend, who knows each of us from the beginning, and as we stay on the pathway that leads to heaven, there will he be at the end. To walk hand in hand with the one who's given so much shall bring such great happiness and eternal gratitude. And how pleased will he be because we were obedient and our lifestyles reflected all of his beatitudes. So I hope you all ate well.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for sharing that poem. Definitely a great reflection of the beatitudes as a whole. So those are, right now, all of those who wanted to share with us this evening. Mr. DJ, anything else that you would like to share?
Just basically keep God first in everything that you do. Everything is not meant for you to understand it. I mean, certain things are revealed to you in time for a reason. You don't know how to drive at 2 years old. You don't know how to, you know, certain things that you just can't answer and have the knowledge of when you won't. You know, certain things will be revealed to you when God is ready to reveal it to you. But once you know it, you have to have enough discipline to adhere to it. You know, but I'm just saying, if you put God first in everything that you do, you know, have him order your steps and everything will fall into place. I just asked that question before because a lot of people often think that to say that you're Christian or to say that you go to church or believe in God, that means that you're perfect. And that is not true. The minute you step up and claim to love God, to be a Christian, to want to have a better life, oh, that's when the hard work begins. It's like I look at Christianity and brotherhood like a fraternity. I mean, it's, you know, people think when you're on the outside, you don't understand. You don't have those letters, and you have all these things to say, but you're not a member. You don't know what people went through to wear those letters. Some good, some may be bad, but everybody has an individual testimony about those letters. And once you get in there, oh, my goodness, you know, everybody, you have a, how can I say, you go through a lot, okay? But that's nothing compared to once you get the letters. Same thing with Christianity. It's at hand. It's there for you. You can reach out. Nobody's going to do anything to you to obtain those letters is where the real work is. Once you reach out and give your hand to Christ, that's when you become a target for Satan and the world. What I'm saying is that, no, you're not going to be perfect. And there is a specific time for you to get angry. But like it was said, you can be angry, but don't sin. That means, yes, there are some stipulations on it, but they're not saying that you cannot be angry at all. There are some specific times that you can feel a certain type of way. But that's when you have to use the resources to help you out of that. You don't have to stay angry. Now, that's one thing. You don't have to stay angry because, you know, we answer to a higher power and we have something greater. You can get mad during the story, but relax, because God already, when he begins the story, he already has it ended. You just got to go through the book, weather the storm. But again, once you become a member and proclaim to love Christ, to want to live right, to do things correctly, that's when you become a target. It's just the same way as if you decide to go on a diet. If you want to train and go on a diet or live a better life of health, man, a doggone Big Mac looks so good. That's when all kind of stuff just started looking so good. You normally don't even eat Twinkies. You go in a grocery store and stuff you don't even normally buy just start looking good. You know, you own your rice cakes and your lettuce, and that's when meat is on sale. I'm just saying, it's always, you know, going to be something to come at you. You got to have that discipline and stay strong in that faith. If you know that you really know God, seek him. If you don't think you know him well enough, seek him. Reach out to him. He will reveal himself unto you. But
good deal, DJ. Thank you for that. Look, let me close this out right quick. You know, as we did our learning center, I hope everybody has the chance to engage, and I truly hope. And next week we'll do it a little differently because I want to engage more people. It's about, you know, you guys and what you have obtained, maybe some general questions in particular that you have. You know, I like to come off the hip. I don't like to do anything scripted, not saying that it is or whatever, but I like to be authentic and have authentic conversation because this is the only way that God can reach any and every last one of us. So to close out the week, do understand what the Beatitudes are. The Beatitudes are equivalent to the Ten Commandments, but a lot deeper, a lot higher. The Ten Commandments, you heard a lot of, thou shalt not. Moses gave them. Okay, the Learning Center, we're going to close out this way. Moses gave them. God gave them to Moses. He brought him to Mount Sinai, a mountain. He took him to the mountain as high. What is the tallest thing that we can get on in this world? Mountains. Man-made buildings are not taller than mountains. So mountain peaks, valley lows, mountains. God is taking you higher. So he brought them to the mountaintop to receive from God, and then, therefore, he brought them down to people. What Jesus brought, he saw the multitude with the Beatitudes, he took him to a mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, M-O-U-N-T, Mount, meaning mountain. These are the Beatitudes, okay? They are directly coming from Jesus, not from Moses, not through another source. That's coming from Jesus. He saw the multitude, he called his disciples up on the mount, and he taught them some things. Okay? He said, I know you have heard, but this is what I say unto you. In other words, I know you have heard this extent of me with the thou shalt not and everything else in the Old Testament, but let me tell you what I say. And this is where a lot of people avoid the Beatitudes at all costs, because even your best of best Christians, I don't care if it's a pastor or whoever, we avoid these things because the Beatitude reveals a true nature of who you are, because you cannot go against God. We clearly heard that a blessing is totally different from a curse. It's one thing to be blessed. The opposite of blessing is cursed. In the Beatitudes you read, blessed, blessed, blessed. That's all you see. Mute everybody, please. That's all you see. It's blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed is the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you because they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of God. See, these are God's promises. So if that's the blessing, flip that around. In other words, blessed means heaven, made happy by God. Cursed means hell. Made sad by God. So if these are the blessings, let me show you the adverse effect to the Beatitudes. Cursed are those who are not poor in spirit. Cursed are those who do not mourn. Cursed are those who are not meek. Cursed are those who do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. Cursed are those who are not merciful. Cursed are those who do not have pure hearts. Cursed are those who do not pursue peace, peacemakers. Cursed are those who are not persecuted for my name. You are cursed when you are not persecuted for God's name's sake. The reason why people don't persecute you, because you are cursed for God's name's sake. Oh, I'm neutral. See, if you're neutral, you're not being persecuted. And the reason why you're not being persecuted is because you're not peculiar. You don't have to try and be different when you live for God. You just are. I don't have to sugarcoat the word. This is the word of God. This is our learning center. Hope we gather this throughout the week. Okay? Matthew 5 says a whole bunch. Go back and read 5, 6, and 7. It talked about salt and light. This is where we get this from. It talked about the fulfillment of God's law. It talked about murder. It talked about adultery. It talked about divorce. See, since we're so clingy and happy, they see we get married because we have a safety net called divorce. That's called divorce. But the Bible says, but I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her a victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Comprende? Now, anybody want to challenge what God just said? Because, see, we'll marry somebody else and say, but no, there's a stipulation. Play with it. Don't get mad at me. That's in Matthew 5, verse 31 through 32. You challenge God on that one. But see, these are the Beatitudes that people hate, the Beatitudes, because it causes you to evaluate where you are in God. It talks about us making agreements, oaths. It talked about the eye for an eye. Y'all know that rule that we have. It talked about loving your enemies. See? This would all it talked about, how we should respond to these things, about our prayer life. You know, when we go home and pray and shut the door and pray in the closet, but we want to get articulate and pray in front of people and sound good. Who are you impressing? See, it's going to be different when we pray in front of people. See, we can pray on this phone and be like, the reason why you say, no, I don't want to pray is because you're embarrassed because other people listen. But see, if you was in your prayer closet, would you say, I don't want to pray? So therefore, what that says and signifies to me is when we talk about the Beatitudes, what it shows is this. When we do get on the phone and we're prepared, that means we're prepared to entertain and not prepared to be authentic. So we would rather entertain people as opposed to be truthful and honest. The reason why so many of us, you know, fail. Now, do understand, this is the Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll read it. He says, depart from me. Huh? But first of all, he led that up by saying, hold on. People are going to tell me, and God can't lie, in the judgment, day of judgment, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I spoke prophecy. I spoke prophetic messages in your name. I healed people in your name. So he's talking to the people who are in church. Because who else does things in the name of Jesus? What do we say all the time? In the name of Jesus, I got it. Keep on playing with God. It's not that you say in the name of Jesus, the lifestyle ain't right, because you don't have to say in the name if you're living in the name. Uh-huh. Who do you think he's talking about? The Bible can't lie. This is what people would tell God. I did this in your name. In other words, he has to be talking about people who are directly in ministry, who are playing with him. But he said, for those who play with me, that's why he brought his disciples, discipline, disciples. He brought his disciples. This is why everybody can't, not everybody going to heaven, because people don't want to discipline themselves. The root of disciple is discipline. We are lazy. We don't want to be held accountable. We don't want to hold ourselves accountable, let alone somebody else. Because we use the adage, I'm human. When you say you're human, what you have decided to do is take the lesser. Do you not understand God knows you're human? Come with another excuse, because that ain't going to work. I'm human. We make errors. Do not validate your statement when you're giving the word of God by saying, I know that we are human. And show me one place when Jesus said that. See, if you're human, well, then you can never be peculiar. God said those who worship me must do it in spirit and in truth. See, with the Beatitudes, he's trying to get us to the place of spirituality. But since we're so human, we fall into the category of being fleshly. When you're peculiar, that means I know I'm human, but I don't ride on that coattail. I know I'm human because God called me to do some great spiritual things, and that's what I choose to do. Only peculiar people can say that. These Beatitudes help us with a whole bunch of things. The Beatitudes, he talks about how our attitudes should be towards money, the big old money thing, the M.O. thing, M. This is why the Bible says store up your treasures in heaven. Huh? You know what a storehouse is? That's a place where we put our wealth. Uh-huh. Y'all get it? This is very important that you really go down and deeply read the Beatitudes and really let it, you know, just manifest in your spirit, man. Because it's time out for all that playing, talking about all you got to do is just give your life to God. See, people been playing that all your life. Now, you don't understand. Now, one thing they talk about, all you got to do is give your life to God. How do you give your life to God? See, they don't tell you that part. They just tell you to do it. That's like telling somebody to go clean up the house. But how do you clean up a house? Well, you assume that they know. The reason why you assume that they know, because you can't explain something that you don't fully understand. Y'all going to feel amen to that one too? Yeah. This is why the Bible says those who worship... Come on. I'm mute, Miss Candy. Miss Candy, this is why the Bible said those who worship him, this is a learning center, must worship him in spirit and in what else, Miss Candy?
In truth.
You can't tell nobody about God that you don't understand. This is why you always revert back to scripture and you only give them surface faith value when the Beatitudes give them much more than that. See, we can have a sermon, we can have teachers on one particular, in the beginning. We can stay there a whole month a year when you really understand God. But those of us who can't, we can only stay on that in the beginning for a good, 2 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Huh? When you don't really understand God, you go back to the, see, there's a difference called Logos and Rhema word.
Mm-hmm.
You want to explain that to them real quick, Miss Candy? What is Logos?
That's the surface, just the basic understanding of it.
Mm-hmm. That means y'all know Candy. Y'all see Candy, pretty smile. What is Rhema?
That's the understanding of it for the spirit of it, the truth of it that comes from God, and not just being able to recite it, but being able to understand it and live it out.
That means I know the origins, and I know what was meant behind it. See how these Beatitudes work? Stop playing with God. God, we really do. I'm serious. We really have to. You've been in church. We've been in church too long. That is a strong scripture when he says, depart from me, I know you not. The reason why he don't know you is because you have been See, that's almost like saying you're trying to get in the club, and I really don't know DJ like that, but I just use DJ name. Yeah, my partner DJ. Yeah, my partner DJ. But see, in this club, heaven, God is the security, and you can't use the fact that you use his name to sneak in. You don't know DJ like that. You don't know God like that, because if you knew him like that, why don't he know you?
Amen.
He said it. I didn't say it. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. But you've been saying it in his name all your life in the name of Jesus and hollering to the top of your lungs. All the beatitudes set right in you. You still have yet to be persecuted for God's name's sake. I ain't talking about because you wear a t-shirt. I'm talking about because you really practice love. See, when you persecuted people, talk about you because they say you stupid for forgiving people. Have you been persecuted yet? I ain't talking about for forgiving your mama. See, that's supposed to be acceptable. I'm talking about forgiving a person who tried to send you to jail.
Yes.
I ain't talking about your surface of forgiving, talking about I done forgave them. See, that means you just mentally you moved on. No, when you forgive somebody, invite them in your house. Have dinner with them. Befriend them. Can you do that? See, you don't even understand the meaning of feel angry but sin not. This is why we can't even explain it. Let me explain it to you. The Bible says be angry but do not sin. What is he talking about? He's talking about be angry, have the same mindset. Be angry, have the same mindset as, in other words, whatever Christ is mad with, you be mad with. And Christ is mad with unrighteousness.
Amen.
Y'all want to, do y'all need further indication? If it's unrighteous, be angry at it, but don't cause your flesh to get justice. Let Christ get justice.
Mm-hmm.
See, we couldn't even explain that because we don't serve God in spirit and in truth. In truth meaning you understand him, you know what he's talking about. Why you can't explain that? We tell people, oh, Miss Candy, it's going to be all right. All you got to do is pray and give your life to God. If you don't stop that elementary stuff, when you was a child, you spake as a child. So that's where we still at? Now, if one of your kids, Miss Candy, sit in the first grade for the last 10 years, do they have a problem?
Yes, sir.
Why? What's our problem? Don't tell me it's the word of God. You know what our problem is? We can't get beyond what we think versus what God is trying to pour into us. In other words, we don't truly thirst for righteousness. We truly just thirst for something that gives me the ability to defend myself in this world. In other words, I want to know the word of God so when, you know, Miss Tiana come at me, I can use the word of God on her. It's not to get to heaven. We use the word of God like that block at the Apollo. Just to rub on it and gain luck and favor according to man. Talk about you, Miss Candy.
Yes, sir.
And this is the reality, people. This is why you hear very few sermons on the Beatitudes. You better be careful. They have ministers out in the world. Today I saw a man who supported Donald Trump. I ain't knocking who he supports. I don't get into politics. But I don't support unrighteousness. But this pastor got up there and lied and said, the man clearly asked him on CNN, Miss Candy. This is our learning center. This man asked him on CNN, and he lied to get his seat as being a pastor. He lied and said he went to a certain school or college and graduated and didn't. Made a statement and said, I apologize because the only reason why I lied is so that they can accept me and view me as a pastor. Wow. So you lied to get in the word of God?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me get this right. According to our Beatitudes, how do you lie to get to moral? So you use something immoral to be moral. Nah, it don't work like that, partner. That means you're using the word of God as a sword to hurt others just because of your title. It got to be. But hold on. What I'm saying is, But we'll start following things.
Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy. This is why the Bible said, y'all better catch this in the Beatitudes. This is why he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Just because people say in the name of Jesus, including us, mm-hmm. just because you prophesy, mm-hmm. just because you have a good voice and you can rap, just because you got good hands and you got good talent and you're intelligent, and in the name of Jesus, and you done got these nice houses and you got the nice title and the position and the promotion, and your spirit ain't poor, you are cursed. Cursed meaning hell. You know where you're going. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, we say we need God, but see, when it come down to it, I bet you don't act like you need God. When it come down to getting that loan, you don't act like you need God, because you go ballistic when them people say no.
Yes, sir.
You need a God. No, we just need God on the back end. We need God to get our seat. When you really need God, you say, God, whether I get married or not, y'all don't want to hear the truth. God, whether I get, y'all don't want to hear the truth. Because half of us say God intended for me to be married. But how you know what God intended? How you know who intended you for you to be married? What about the rest of your life? Since you know that part of him, what about the rest of it?
Amen.
Yes.
No, you intended for you to be married. Everybody, get mad at me if you want to. It's the Beatitudes Learning Center. God did not intend for everybody to be married. Jesus, thank you. That's why he wasn't married. But Mr. Carr, that's Jesus, and that's why he was perfect. Because he followed God's way, not yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In other words, the only reason why we serve God is so we can get from God. But Miss Candy, which one of them Beatitudes that says something about being selfless? Which one was it? Meaning we didn't have ill intent, we had no selfish ambition. Which one was it, Ms. Candy?
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
Oh, my goodness. That means you ain't serving God because of what you can get from God, Ms. Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the opposite of being blessed is cursed. And cursed are those who don't have a pure heart. So you are cursed when you use the name of Jesus and you praise Jesus just to get your husband or your wife.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many that is okay and it's proven here today. That's why we have kids out of wedlock, because we want the family so bad that if we can't get the man, we'll catch him on the back end with something called child support. See, we want the family so bad that I'm willing to break God's order to get a child and start my own without a man that I call my husband. Oh, y'all mad now?
Come on.
You mad? Good. It should challenge you. You mad? Hmm? Because you know we broke that order. In other words, God, I see your order, but I want to do it my way. Because I know more than you. Well, I ain't going to say I know more than you, but I got feelings and I'm human. Mm-hmm. So we want what we want so bad to where we try and lure people into marriage by laying and saying if they don't marry, now they're less than. Really? That's what we come to?
Yes,
sir.
That's what we've come to? Why you think so many have? And then people say somebody ain't taking care of their responsibilities. Did you start off taking care of yours? Because your responsibility is God, first and foremost. So what happened? You taking care of yours? Before you talk about what somebody not paying for? Are you paying your tithes? Are you paying yours? Do not be hypocritical.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and close it out with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you again for this call. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you continue to provide us. Dear Lord, may we walk away with open hearts, open minds, receiving of the words that have gone forth this evening. Dear Lord, continue to bless all of those who are hearing of this prayer. May they all have a great night's rest. And for those who are traveling, may they travel safely. May we continue to be great stewards, Heavenly Father, of everything that you've continued to give and you continue to provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We will see y'all on Wednesday. We have Bible study, 8 o'clock.
Good night.